It's an honor to study with you a topic which is extremely complex in Jewish history, in Jewish thought, in Jewish philosophy, in Jewish law. A topic which has ramifications for the lives of each of us, each of you, and I believe also for the lives of each and every one of the Jewish people, wherever they may be found. As you have heard, we are going to be discussing today Jewish attitudes towards non-Jews and our connection to the non-Jewish world, specifically in terms of our preparatory stages. Those of us especially who are headed towards the non-Jewish world, maybe temporarily thinking of leaving Eretz Israel and joining university programs and workplaces which are mainly populated by non-Jews. So I was asked to discuss my understanding, hope, on some level reflective of the Torah understanding of what is our attitude towards Goyei HaOlam, towards Umot HaOlam, towards the nations of the world. Now, as you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not only create a world of Jews. Each and every person in the world, without exception, is created in the image of Hashem. That seems to be a basic axiom of Torah, and it's with that axiom that I'm beginning today. The world was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by God, and all people in the world are reflections of God. Ki b'tzelem Elokim asa et ha'adam. God created people in the image of the divine, in the image of God. All people are created in the image of God. And according to one reading, the Mahloket in the Yerushalmi, Nidarim, where they're looking for the text, the all-encompassing text, the text that will teach us like what the most important principle of Torah is. So Rabbi Akiva teaches one of the most famous sentences of the entire Torah, the sentence that each of you has learned countless amounts of times, as being the all-encompassing statement, namely, Ba'avtal, Re'acha, Kamocha, Vayikra, Yutet, right? You shall love your friend as you love yourself. Or you shall love your friend is just like you. Ba'avtal, Re'acha, Kamocha. Ben Azai seems to disagree with Rabbi Akiva's teaching. Shalom. And Ben Azai teaches that there's another text which is more encompassing, which is a greater statement of the Klal Gadol B'Torah. Shalom. And Ben Azai says, Ze Sefer Toledot Adam Klal Gadol Mizeh. If you look in the fifth Perek of Breshit, you look at the fifth chapter of Genesis, and you read Perek Hei Pasuk Aleph, it says, Ze Sefer Toledot Adam. This is the description of the happenings of human beings. Then Azai says, this Pasuk is more basic, is more of a description of what the entirety of Torah is. And the commentaries explain, what is it in that pasuk that's different than the pasuk of Ba'avtal Re'acha Kamocha? What does he see in that pasuk that would be descriptive of a klal gadol, klal yoter gadol, klal gadol mizeh? So if we read that sentence, we see ze sefer, I'm quoting Breshit, Perkei Pasukal, ze sefer toledot Adam. This book that you're about to read, this is a description of that which happened with people, that which happened with human beings. B'yom b'ro Elokim Adam. On the day that God created people, Bidmut Elokim Asa Oto. God created people in the image of God. And according to one school of thought in the commentaries, what's the mahaloka between Rabbi Akiva and Ben Asai? Rabbi Akiva says, L'reacha, v'havta l'reacha, feel special feelings of association, of closeness with Reacha. According to many different, then your fellow Jew, your friend, the one that's closest to you, the one that has a commonality of background together with you, Reacha. And Ben Azai says, yes, it's very important to recognize the uniqueness of our connection to the Jewish people, Reacha. But there is a klal which applies to the 7 billion other people, or 7 billion people collectively on earth, and that is that all people, Bidmut Elokim Asauto, every person is created in the image of God. And that means that wherever you go, and all the people that you meet for the entirety of your existence on this planet, all of them are created in the image of God. That means you have to treat people with dignity. That means you have to see the Tzelem Elokim in each person. And you have to know that each one possesses a certain kind of divine spark. As the Mishnah teaches, interesting that it's the teaching of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, who we just learned, seems to emphasize Re'acha. Nevertheless, many people here have studied or are studying Pirkei Avot. In the third chapter of Pirkei Avot, we read the third chapter of the Ethics of the Fathers, Huaya Omer, Rabbi Akiva used to teach, Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem. Every person, beloved are human beings, for they are created in the image of God. Chaviv Adam, every man, Adam, beloved, each person is Shenivra B'Tzelem. Chibay Tera, no Dadlo, Shenivra B'Tzelem. Still greater is their level. Still greater is their love. In that it was made known to them. People were told. Human beings were informed that they are not just being created as another form of creation. They are created in the image of God. God manifested additional love for humankind. In that God revealed to human beings that they are created in the image of God. The first message I would like to share, maybe it's something that's very obvious to every person sitting here, is that all people are created in the image of Hashem. All people in the world are created in the image of Hashem. And you know, as we prepare for the holiday next week, as we prepare for Shavuot, in the very reading of the Torah on Shavuot, in all the communities, we read from the 19th chapter of the book of Shemot. And therein we read about the selection of the Jewish people. Vayam Shemot Shemot B'Koli Ushmartem Et Briti V'Yitem Li Segula B'Kol Ha'amin. I want you to be this special treasure, this specially chosen nation from all the nations. But the end of that pasuk is often overlooked. Ki Li Kol Ha'aretz. Kili kol aretz, the entire earth belongs to me. And what does it mean, kili kol aretz? So there are those who say, well, I'm choosing you, don't they have limited choices? I can choose anyone. Kili kol aretz, I can choose anyone on earth. All the nations are my creation. I choose you. That's one way of reading. However, if you look in several of the commentaries, specifically the Sfornu, Avadiyah Sfornu and others, he seems to learn that Kili Kol Haaretz, I am interested in the entire earth. I am choosing you, but I'm choosing you in order to spread the word of God, in order to be the spiritual leaders to reach the world. As it says in the next pasuk, Vatem, this is in Perek Yutet, Pasuk Vav of Shemot, Va'atem Tehiyuli Malechet Kohanim. You should be a kingdom of Kohanim. You're the teachers. You're the priests. You're the leaders. Who are you leading? Doesn't mean we're supposed to lead ourselves. You can't be a Kohen to a Kohen. You're the Kohanim to the world. Says the Sforno, when I quote, he says, "V'hasidei umot ha'olam yikarim etzli." God says, "Kili kol har." I want to reach everyone. You know, we pray every day, right? We pray for the takein olam, right? The takein. Where do we say this prayer? The takein olam v'achut shakad. Kol b'nei basar yikru v'shmech. Everyone should call out to God. V'achnot ilecha kol rishay haaretz. Yakiru v'yedu kol yoshrei. Everyone. He says, "This is for no." V'chasidei umot ha'olam yikarim etzli. V'atem tiyu li malechet kohanim. U'baze tiyu segula. Ki tiyu malechet kohanim. Lahavin u'lahorot l'chol hamin ha'enoshi. L'kro chulam b'shem Hashem u'lo'avdo shechem ahad. You shall be the conduits. You shall be the messengers. It will be through your services, through your teachings, your contacts with the non-Jewish world. Besides recognizing the fact that each of them is created in the image of God, you are part of a nation of Kohanim. You are the teachers of the world. You're supposed to be the teachers of the world. You're supposed to be teaching the entire world about God. You're supposed to be teaching the entire world about ethics. You're supposed to be teaching the entire world about morality. So all of your encounters with the non-Jewish world, as Mamlechet Kohanim, is Kili Kol Haaretz. You're supposed to be the segula through the fact that you'll be behaving in a certain kind of way with the help of Hashem on the most elevated of levels, on the most respectable level known to humankind, and people will look up to you and will learn from your ways, especially if your ways are reflective of the Torah. And through that, God's word will reach the entire world. In several places in the book of Isaiah, we are referred to as the Or Goyim, which means the light unto the nations. That is our role. We are supposed to be the beacon of light. We're supposed to look to the Jewish people. Let's say those people will be in campuses next year, with many, many thousand, sometimes maybe tens of thousands non-Jewish students. You're supposed to be shining with the light of God. You're supposed to be shining with the light of truth. You're supposed to be shining with the light of morality. And the world is supposed to look for you, look towards you, and learn from you. Let's say you're working in a certain workplace during the summer. You're in the middle of a large city, and you represent godliness. Let's say you're proudly wearing a head covering that identifies you with the Jewish community, that identifies you with the Torah community. V'etencha l'or goyim. Yeshayahu membet. Unetaticha l'or goyim. Yeshayahu membet. Right, v'etencha l'or goyim is Yeshayahu membet. We're supposed to be the light unto the nations. You can't be a teacher to the nations. You can't be a teacher to anyone. If a teacher doesn't have feelings towards his or her student, how can you be a teacher? Imagine someone who says, well, what do you do? I teach. What do you think about your students? I'm not interested in my students. Or I don't like my students. That's not a teacher. A teacher that God forbid would profess to feel distance from their students? What kind of teacher is that? You can't teach. Nobody will listen to your teachings anyway. You will not be able to teach. And your teachings will never be absorbed. They'll never be accepted. One cannot be the Kohanim. One cannot become the Kohen of the world if we don't have warm, loving, and accepting feelings, a certain level of understanding that each of them is really special and each of them is really blessed. That seems to be the basic framework of what we're learning about today. And the Mishnah speaks in Masechet Sanhedrin. If you're interested in looking at Talmud Bavli, the Mishnah discusses a question. There are several responses in Sanhedrin to this question. The question that's raised by the Tanaim is, why is it that when God created the world, when God created human beings, God created only one human being, only one man and one woman? When God created other forms of life, and potentially it could have been the same with the creation of people, let there be people, and there could have been people all over. The world could have been filled with people, many types of people, many diversified people. Why is it, asks the Mishnah, Lefichach nivra Adam yechidi? Why is it that when God created the world, God created only one man and one woman, only Adam, only Eve? And in a certain sense, right, we're all descendants from one man and from one woman. All of us are children of Adam. All of us are children of Adam and Chava. Lefichach nivra Adam yechidi. Now there are several responses. Anyone who studies Sanhedrin perhaps remembers that. The air conditioner working?
It's running.
What?
I think it's running enough.
Could someone just check it? What? Check this, man. Check this. The message of the Mishnah is to teach you Shekol Hame'abed Nefesh Ahat Miyisrael Ma'ale Alav HaKatuv Ki'ilu Ibed Olam Male V'chol Hame'kayem Nefesh Ahat Miyisrael Ki'ilu Kiyem Olam Male. Just as in the beginning of creation, just as at the beginning of creation, one person was the entire world. And if God forbid, someone would have destroyed Adam, they would have been destroying the entirety of the world. That is the way that you're supposed to view each person in the world. Every person is an entire world. Now there are two girsa'ot, there are two variant readings in the Mishnah. I'd like to discuss both. In some texts of the Mishnah, it says, "Lefichach nivra Adam yechidi." Therefore, people were created. Therefore, human beings were created individually. It was only one individual human being created at the beginning of creation. L'lamencha, this comes to teach you that if you destroy one Jew, you're destroying the whole world. Kol ma'abed nefesh achat miYisrael ki'ilu ibed olam malei. And if you sustain one Jew, the soul of one Jew, ki'ilu kiyem olam malech. So several of the commentaries said, and we have different readings of the Mishnah, that there's one word in that text which is problematic. I repeat, kol hamikayem. We learn from the fact that God created Adam yehidi, that kol hamikayem nefesh achat miYisrael ki'ilu kiyem olam malech. Anybody see a problem in anything? Those words, yes? Wasn't Jewish, right? Absolutely, right? What do you mean, Israel? What do you mean, Israel? And you look in the Mishnah, you look at different readings of the Mishnah. In some versions, it says about Israel, in some versions, it doesn't say about Israel. According to several commentaries, you don't learn from the fact that Adam was created. You can't learn from the fact that Adam was created individually, that just to save one Jew is saving the world. To destroy one Jew is destroying the whole world. I mean, it's true, because a Jew is also a human being. But you learn a greater lesson, namely, I'm sorry?
Anyone,
the destruction of any human being. And that's why in many versions of the Mishnah we read, Kol ha-ma'abed nefesh achat. Any person that you destroy in this world, you're destroying an entire world. The same way Adam is an entire world, every person is an entire world. Every single person is an entire world. And the same way, the destruction of Adam would have been the destruction of the whole world, and if you would be able to sustain Adam, you would be sustaining the entire world. So to every single person that you meet is an entire world. And the way God reminds us that every person is an entire world is that there are no clones. There are no clones on earth. We do not have, there are no clones to any human being. Every single person has a very, very specifically defined being. They look a certain way, they sound a certain way, they think a certain way. Right? No two human beings on earth are exactly alike. Even identical twins have a unique identification symbols that one is different than the other. No two people are the same. That means that every single person has something unique to contribute, and every single person is an entire world. You destroy one person, you're destroying the world. And maybe one of the reflections that you have to have as you're learning to prepare to re-enter a world, especially those people who will be outside of Eretz Yisrael, a world which is primarily occupied by non-Jews, is that a bud nefesh, a hat chas v'shalom, a destruction of one human being, or one person, is a destruction of the world, and a kiyum of nefesh hat is a kiyum of the whole world. We have an obligation, as I said before, to teach the world. You can teach in a direct way, you can have classes, you can have courses, you can have discussions, or you can just teach by example. There's a pasuk in the book of Vayikra which speaks about the punishment of someone. There's a certain punishment for someone who knows testimony. Let's say you testified you were there. You witnessed a certain kind of action. And theoretically, you could be the one who could come to court and testify because you really saw it. But many people don't go to court. Many people don't go to Beit Din. Many people are not interested in getting involved in various forms of eidut because they don't want to bother. You know, they don't want the focus to be on them. They don't have the time for it. They don't have the patience for it. They don't want the ramifications. They don't want anyone to be angry at them. So the Torah warns, if you remember in the book of Vayikra, "V'hu eid o ra'a o yada." Im lo yagid, anyone? V'nasa avono. If you're a witness and you saw it, or you know something about this topic, and now the court, there's a certain court deliberation, and you can somehow have your input into it. Im lo yagid, you can't say, "Well, I didn't do it. I just kept quiet." If you don't testify, v'nasa avono, it's a sin. That's what it says in the Torah. The pshat, of course, is that if you're a witness, especially to a crime, if you're a witness, and your testimony can be important in court, it's your obligation to testify. On a rabbinic midrashic level, the Midrash Rabbah and Vayikra Rabbah teaches, I believe it's Parashat Vav and Vayikra Rabbah, the Midrash Rabbah teaches that this pasuk is talking about the obligation on an extended level, right, on the midrashic level. On an extended level, this pasuk is talking about the obligations of the Jewish people to teach the world, to testify to the world, to be the witnesses to the world. I'll quote the midrash. But who ain't? If you're a witness, we are the witnesses. Elu Yisrael, says the midrash, as it says in Yeshayahu, as it says in the book of Isaiah. Atem Eidai, you're my witnesses. The Jewish people are the living witnesses of God. They're the living witnesses to the truth of Hashem. The Jewish people are also living witnesses to the fact that God exists. Our continued existence proves the existence of God. We are living the word of God. We are the witnesses. You're a witness. So do something with your testimony. You have to transfer this. You have to report this. Oh, Ra'ah! You saw something? Well, we saw a lot. We witnessed the Decalogue, so we're celebrating one of the forms of celebration next week. Hurrah! We experienced the Sinaitic revelation. Ata Horeita Ladat. You were shown, you saw it. You saw V'chol Ha'amruim. Everyone saw it. Hurrah! If you saw something, you're supposed to testify. Oh, Yada! Or you know something. And the pasuk says, "V'yadata hayom v'hashivota el mavecha." Hashem will, you know that God is, you know that God is the true God. And the pasuk mentions, the pasuk concludes, "Slicha, im lo yagid v'nasa avuno." If you don't testify, I'll read the language of the midrash. Im lo tagidu elokuti l'umot ha'olam. If you don't discuss, if you don't transfer, if you don't teach the matters related to my godliness to the nations of the world, you are the witnesses. Im lo yagid v'nasa avuno hare ani chas v'shalom orei amikem. God will hold the Jewish people. And there'll be an exacting of punishment if the Jewish people do not testify the word of God to the whole world. So this is my general introduction to our preparation for the connection to the non-Jewish world. However, there is another side to this whole discussion which is equally as important and which confuses the matter and makes it ever so difficult for some people to grab a balance between the two concepts. Because besides the fact that we're supposed to be teachers, and besides the fact that we're supposed to be Kohanim priests, besides the fact that we're supposed to recognize the greatness of the entire world, we are also obligated on some level to separate from the world. There's an obligation in Torah, va'avdil etchem min ha'amim l'hiyotli. It seems that in order to carry out our special mission, and we do have a special mission, if you're not aware of the special mission, then study it. There is a special directive for the Jewish people. We are supposed to be accomplishing certain things in this world. In order to do so, we follow a very strict and singular pathway of laws and practices without any negative influences from the outside world, because we live within the Jewish community and we live a Jewish life. There are very, very strict rules and regulations about various forms of social contact with the Gentile world. As you know, it's not a chidush to anyone here. One of the most painful, one of the greatest sorrows of the entire Jewish people today, one of the most heartbreaking spiritual downfalls of the Jewish people today is the spiritual holocaust of assimilation and intermarriage. Perhaps because the Jews understood the greatness of the nation. Perhaps because they saw the image of God. Perhaps because it was so difficult for them to remember that they have a unique mission. Most of the Jewish people, I hope it's not that way today in the afternoon, but as of this morning, most of the Jewish people in the world, you know the numbers? Do you know the numbers of assimilated Jews? Do you know the numbers of intermarriage? Do you know the statistical analysis of intermarriage even in countries such as the United States, which is filled with millions of Jews? Do you know how painful it is to talk about most Jews marrying non-Jewish people? And there seems to be certain types of prohibitions in our tradition which seemingly are there to protect us against over-involved connections with the non-Jewish world. How do you balance the two? You know, the rabbis emphasize the pasuk in the Torah, "V'lo tithaken bam." It is prohibited, as everyone knows, to marry outside of the Jewish faith. And that means that you could be going to college with a person and she could be highly intelligent. She could be cute, she could be attractive, she could be intelligent, she could be sensitive, and she could even be spiritual. She could even be very cute, very attractive, very intelligent, very sensitive, and even very spiritual. And there's a certain point, and I think there's certain people sitting here thinking, like, why is he wasting our time? Is he talking about intermarriage? You know, we're all religiously observant people. We've all studied many, many years Torah, Baruch Hashem, which continue forever. We're all leaving Torah. Why are you talking to us about intermarriage? God forbid, I don't mean to. I hope it's not improper. But I can tell you about people that I know, friends of mine, students of mine. I can tell you that the Gemara says that Ein Apotropos La'arayot. You've studied that, I believe, in your studies of Gemara. There is no guaranteed protection when there's a certain level of mingling between the sexes. When you're together with a woman, when you're together with women, when women are together with men, there's no one in the world who could say, I'm above it. It will not affect me. To quote the Yerushalmi, Afilu Hasid, the Yerushalmi in Ketuvot, Afilu Hasid Sheba Hasidim. Even the most pious of all pious people, the most righteous of all righteous people, Ein Memanin Oto Apotropos Ala Arayot. There's no guarantee. The law is so great. And there have to be certain levels of barriers. We have general barriers that the halachic system sets up. The rabbis teach about certain forms of social contact. I think the one that's most well known is about certain kinds of drinking together with non-Jews. Gazru al yeinan mishum binotehen. Certain kinds of social drinking. That's the whole idea of yayin. That certain kinds of drinks, certain kinds of places of drinking, can bring certain kinds of levels of closeness and intimacy. And there are certain people who feel that this will not happen to me. I don't need barriers. I'm only interested in part A of today's discussion. I think you know, non-Jews are great, and I think non-Jews are wonderful. And you know, of course, I know exactly what kind of person I'm going to marry. I'd like to say that great people have fallen in this area. Maybe I'll share a few stories of people that I know. I know this wonderful girl, this wonderful woman, was brought up in a community that you all know, but I had respect for her identity and for the community. I'll not mention it. A well-known religious community in the United States. We'll call her Lisa, but that's not her name. And she went to college. And there was this man who was taking many, many of the same classes that she was. And his name was Jerry Levy. Now, Jerry Levy is as Jewish a name, you know, as she thought she would be able to find on campus. Jerry Levy didn't wear a kippah, and she did come from a very religious background. But Jerry Levy was so intelligent, and Jerry Levy was so helpful, and she had difficulty in many of her classes, and Jerry Levy offered to study with her, and Jerry Levy was highly dynamic. But she got very much involved in Jerry Levy. And Jerry Levy wasn't Jewish. And the way he had this name, Levy, was that his father was a Jew, and his mother was a Catholic. And he followed Catholicism. He did not wear a sign in school, you know, I'm a Catholic. Very fine person. I even had the privilege of meeting him, because after they got engaged, Lisa's parents called me and asked me a special favor if I can go meet with them. It's very, very difficult. There are very few people in the world who can be successful in this area. I'm not one of them. I tried so hard, you know. And she kept talking about how deeply in love we are. He spoke about how much we love each other and appreciate each other. And they got married. Now, if you would have spoken to her at any point, of course, when she was in Yeshiva High School, beyond Yeshiva High School, 2 years out of high school, you know, until she met him in college, would you ever consider marrying a non-Jew? Well, what are you talking about? She clearly came from a family of Torah observers. I'm not marry a non-Jew, I'm only going to marry someone who keeps Torah. But Enoch Mitrafus L'Arayot. And there have to be certain kinds of levels where I don't go beyond a certain point. I'm not going beyond this. Let's meet tonight over dinner, and we'll discuss preparations for, you know, for the term paper we have to hand in. There's a very big difference between an academic kind of encounter, and one could discuss at length to what level are there platonic relationships between men and women. I'm not going to express, you know, a definitive opinion on this. I could just say you have to be very careful. You could think that it's all, you know, just platonic, and maybe not being honest with yourself. Because I know someone else, very, very fine person, great person, you know, who also comes from a Torah observant home, who also went to Yeshiva elementary school, who also went to Yeshiva high school, also put on tefillin every day, also prayed three times a day, also went to Beit Knesset every Shabbat, and was a public school teacher somewhere in New York. He was teaching third grade. Beautiful, holy occupation of teaching. And in the next room, there were parallel classes, and in the next room, there was another third grade teacher. This really is her name. Her name is Mary. If at any point you would ever ask him, ever, I used to speak to him, would he ever consider, you know, marrying a non-Jewish woman? Absolutely, unequivocally, as far from the possibility of being as anyone can fathom, imagine. And the way the story goes, and this is a true story, and I'm not exaggerating it, is that Mary, seemingly, was an excellent third grade teacher. And my friend was marveled by her greatness. You know, and wow, she had such great lessons with us. And she had such great disciplinary skills. And she was relating to the students in such a great way. And I would speak to him. And, you know, he would mention from time to time the great teacher next door, you know, in the next third grade. I said, who is this teacher? I said, is she married? No. Is she Jewish? No. Mordechai, he's suspecting me of the possibility of some type of inappropriate activity. I said, no, I'm just telling you what the rabbis teach. That there's no one above this. Mordechai is highly insulted. You know. And then this went on for months. And every time I would talk to him, he would tell me something about Mary. You know, Mary came up with this new science project for third graders. And then 1 week I was talking to him, and he was telling me that he's meeting Mary Saturday night. And when that happened, I was like, I was in a state of semi-shock. I said, you're dating Mary? He said, Chas v'shalom. God forbid, we're not dating. We're meeting Saturday night because this next week there are special projects in all the third grade classes in the New York City Board of Education, and Mary has very definite ideas of what kind of assembly programs we're going to have. I said, Saturday night? In a social scene? And it progressed, and it progressed. My dear friend, Hashem should bless him, help him do tshuva, help all of us do tshuva. My dear friend, you know, ended up moving in with Mary. But he didn't even hide that from me. And when we spoke, he would tell me he's living with her. And he said something along the lines, and I think I'm quoting almost verbatim. He said, a non-Jewish woman. He said, Mordechai, it's just physical. I don't have real, you know, I would never marry such a woman. We're just living together. And eventually they got married. A certain period, she said, you know, when we came back to his family, she said, this happens often in these kinds of relationships, where Bridget tells Bernie, you know, I'll convert because, you know, your parents won't accept me if I don't convert. After all, I love the Jewish people, so I'll convert. So this woman, for at least a few weeks, I sent her to some rabbi that I know. She couldn't even come more than 3 weeks in a row to a basic study program. And they got married. Can anyone say that I don't need barriers? I don't think so. Can anyone say that I can enter an environment? Can I enter an environment where theoretically most of the people in that country are marrying non-Jews? Most Jews in that country are marrying non-Jews. I have a student. I deeply and heartfeltly love and respect him. I'll tell you his name. Nobody here could know who he is, I don't think, because he doesn't even use his name. His name is Yehuda. And Yehuda was rejected. Yehuda was rejected by a certain yeshiva high school. I had certain connections with Yehuda. My family knew him. Yehuda was rejected. You know, in order to enter certain yeshiva high schools, you have to pass a certain kind of entrance exam. Till this day, it's very difficult for me. I'm not objective about it. It just hurts me so much when I hear about entrance exams. Although I've never been involved in running an institution, nor do I think I'm capable of doing such, nor do I want to do such. And it's easy for me to talk. I know that you need certain standards. And they gave him a certain test, and he didn't know enough, and they rejected him. And this was the only school that he wanted to go to, and he decided he's going to public high school instead of yeshiva. And I called up myself, I myself spoke to the rabbi of the yeshiva high school. I had other rabbis call him. I told him he's a wonderful person. So he doesn't know so many pages of Talmud. So he's not an expert in Chumash. So what? So they were willing to give him a second chance of going back for a second interview. He wasn't interested. And I remember when he went to public high school. And he told me how he was going to maintain his level of spiritual observance. And he slowly left the pathway of Torah. And at a certain point, late in high school, he got involved with a Catholic girl. She got pregnant for him. And they got married in church on the Saturday morning. Would Yehuda ever, in his wildest imagination, ever think that that was possible? Absolutely not. I want to bless everyone with the blessings of both parts of our discussion. And I want to bless you that you should be able to strike the delicate balance between the two forces. An appreciation, an elevation, an evaluation, a great level of assessment of the greatness of the world, and yet an understanding that the Jewish soul can connect, that marriage is not merely a connection. Marriage is not merely a connection to someone that you're attracted to, but marriage is a unification, a bond of two parts of the same soul. A soulful connection. And the only way to soulfully connect in marriage, if you're a Jew, or if you're a Jewess, is with a soulful connection to Am Yisrael. I know that people here, Baruch Hashem, are on very high levels of spiritual attainment. I hope that they get greater and greater levels of spiritual attainment, greater and greater levels of connection to Torah. I do hope that you can be the spiritual leaders, not only for yourselves, because let's even say that you understand these messages. Let's even say you understand that there's a certain kind of danger, and you do create the barriers that are necessary to make sure that you don't violate these teachings. What about the other Jews? What about the other Jewesses? What about all of our brothers and all of our sisters? Maybe each of you could be the spiritual guide, the spiritual light. You could be the light unto the nations, and you could be the light unto the Jewish people. And you could help them understand the greatness of trying to actualize the great potential that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us as we begin our preparations for next week's celebration of Shavuot, for the greatest revelation to the entire nation. God did not reveal the Torah just to a few select rabbis, or a few select rebbetzins, or a few select prophets or prophetesses, the entire nation, because the entire nation is on that level of Kohanim. May each of you be able to actualize your potential and maximally impact in a positive way on each and every environment that you're ever in. May all people see in you the light of Hashem, and may forever and ever you be sensitized to your particular role in Avodat Hashem in the entire world. Rabbi Monk, I believe, writes in his Sidur that the reason why you say Aleinu as you leave the synagogue, Aleinu is said at the end of Shacharit, Aleinu is said at the end of Mincha, Aleinu is said at the end of Arvit, because very often when you leave the synagogue, you're going into a different world. And what are you supposed to do in that world? You're supposed to take the messages of the prayers with you. L'takein olam, the Malchut Shakai, Kadosh Baruch Hu should be with you. Shri Matzlichim, everything. Thank you.